Time for a weekly look at the top political news from the nation's capital. The FBI is nearing the end of its investigation into sexual assault allegations against Supreme Court nominee Brett Kavanaugh. Democratic Representative Keith Ellison of Minnesota is campaigning to be the state's attorney general despite claims of domestic violence. Plus, both President Trump and the chair of the Federal Reserve are praising the state of the U.S. economy, something that would normally be a big plus for Republicans on the campaign trail. You can weigh in on our question of the week. Is the health of the economy a major voting issue for you? If you're a Republican, do you wish GOP candidates would focus more on the current economy than they do? If you're an independent, does the direction of the economy influence your vote? Or do you think that political polarization has made issues like the economy take a backseat to more negative messaging, attack ads? Call in at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Or email ideas@WPR.org. Amanda Turkle joins us now, Washington Bureau Chief for the Huffington Post. Amanda, welcome back to Central Time.
Thanks for having me.
Well, one of the big stories people are following, the FBI apparently wrapping up pretty soon this investigation into allegations of sexual assault against Brett Kavanaugh. A lot of confusion this week over the scope of the investigation, who's going to be interviewed and who's not. What do we know, and I guess not know, about this FBI investigation?
Well, it looks like that as of now, Christine Blasey Ford and Brett Kavanaugh, so the two main players in this, are not going to be interviewed by the FBI at the request of the White House. And Ford has said that she wants to be interviewed. Actually, just a few minutes before our conversation, her legal team sent out a letter responding to a request for some documents and said, like, we're happy to provide them, but she wants to be interviewed by the FBI. After all, she was one of the people who requested the FBI investigation. You know, Republicans have said that there's no need to talk to them because they have already testified before the Senate Judiciary Committee. They should have told the committee everything. And the White House said, like, look, if senators have more questions for them, they should have asked, they had their chance to ask them. But they are interviewing people who are supposedly witnesses, people like Mark Judge, who Christine Blasey Ford has said was present during her sexual assault by Kavanaugh. But it seems like there are a lot more people out there who say they have information that could corroborate Ford's allegations or maybe help Kavanaugh, but it doesn't seem like the FBI's investigation is going to get everyone.
You wrote a recent piece looking at an FBI investigation into harassment claims by Anita Hill during the Clarence Thomas confirmation back in 1991. How did the results of that investigation factor into that confirmation process?
Well, it's important to realize that the FBI investigation is sort of what it isn't. It isn't a criminal investigation. It's not going to be that broad. It's a background check, and it has its value. You know, people, you would think, would be less likely to lie to the FBI, and you'll have these neutral investigators writing up a report and then giving their assessment on the situation. But it's not a criminal investigation. People shouldn't think that it will be. And when Anita Hill was interviewed by the FBI, and the FBI did an investigation into her allegations against Clarence Thomas, it ends up their investigation wasn't that thorough. They didn't talk to her for very long. They didn't ask her a lot of questions and get a lot of details about what happened. And when she testified, she gave far more detail, and the FBI ended up looking pretty bad because they didn't do their job fully enough. So they ended up throwing her under the bus, implying that she embellished later on because she didn't tell them everything. So in other words, this FBI investigation, it's not the end all be all. It doesn't mean that Kavanaugh is finished. It could just end up being used as cover for senators who can then say, well, there was an FBI investigation. I'm now going to vote for him.
And we're going to be watching for what the Senate ends up doing. And some in the Senate are watching what President Trump is saying. He'd ordered this investigation, but people had said, oh, he's being surprisingly measured about Christine Blasey Ford, at least last week. Now, here he is at a rally last night talking about, and people say mocking Christine Blasey Ford and her testimony. Here's a listen.
36 years ago, this happened. I had one beer, right? I had one beer. Well, do you think it was? Nope, it was one beer. Oh, good. How did you get home? I don't remember. How'd you get there? I don't remember. Where is the place? I don't remember. How many years ago was it? I don't know. I don't know. I don't know.
What kind of reaction is that getting from some key Senate Republicans who people think may be on the fence on the confirmation?
The reaction is not good. You had Susan Collins say that she didn't like what the president said. And you had a lot of other Republicans, including his own supporters, say you shouldn't be doing that. Lindsey Graham, for example, a Republican from South Carolina, said, like, look, that's not helpful. Many of Trump's supporters, his allies around him in the White House and in the Senate, have really, really wanted him to stay quiet on this. They don't see any benefit in him attacking Christine Blasey Ford, who many people, even Republicans and Republican women who, you know, obviously are sort of an independent women who are key to the midterm elections, they really sympathize with Ford. And to have Trump out there mocking this woman who went public with this very emotional testimony about what she went through, it's not a look that many people in the party want to have.
We're looking at some of the top stories in national politics with Amanda Turkle from the Huffington Post. We'll be talking more about the Kavanaugh confirmation process, by the way, and take your calls tomorrow afternoon at 4:30. I want to move on to this issue of the economy, and I want to give a listen to Federal Reserve Chair Jerome Powell talking about good news about the state of the economy. President Trump has been talking about that, too. Here's Jerome Powell talking yesterday.
Unemployment is near 50-year lows, and inflation is roughly at our 2% objective. And that the baseline outlook of many forecasters, inside and outside the Fed, is for more of the same. This historically rare pairing of steady low inflation and very low unemployment is a testament to the fact that we remain in extraordinary times.
So Republicans are in power. We're seeing some good economic news here. Are Republicans talking about this a lot on the campaign trail as they run for Congress?
A little bit, not as much as you would think, but they are talking about it. We recently looked at the ads that Republicans are running, and the tax bill is something that you hear Republicans say, you know, over and over, that this is our big legislative achievement. But if you look at the campaign ads, they are not mentioning the tax bill itself all that much. They're talking about the issue of taxes. You know, Democrats want to raise your taxes. They don't support lowering them, things like that. But the tax bill itself does not get as many mentions. I mean, the economy, traditionally, when the economy is good, the president will do well. But the economy, a strong economy, just isn't enough to pull Republicans through the midterms this time. It's in part because, you know, the stock market is booming, for example. But workers aren't seeing their wages go up. They're not seeing their hours reduced. It's just not trickling down as much to average workers. And also this election, it's just not as much about issues. It's much more about how people feel about, you know, what Trump is doing, the partisanship in the country, and sort of how Congress is doing it overall. There are just bigger things sort of going on here.
We invited our listeners to join in on this, 800-642-1234. How important an issue is the economy in this election to you? How important should it be? We'll go now to Dave on the line in Rhinelander. Dave, hi.
Hi. Yeah, I would say I'm a Democrat, but I think this whole thing with the economy doing well does not reflect what the population's doing. It reflects what the corporations are doing. You know, the tax cuts did not go back to increased wages. It went to buybacks of stock, which is good for the investors, but in the investors, typically, the ones that hold the largest number of stock shares are wealthy, who are getting the benefit of the tax cuts anyway. The other thing that's going on is that with all the tariffs, prices on goods are going up, and it does not take into account how well the population is doing, the cost of living. And
Dave,
I think that's disingenuous.
Dave, thanks a lot for calling in. Amanda, Dave hitting on something that I think some polling has suggested too, including I think a Republican internal poll saying that the tax cuts aren't polling that well in the public. That may be part of why they're not running on the specific tax cuts in particular.
Yeah, I mean, I think Dave is right. I mean, the tax cuts, I think that people more and more realize that the tax cuts really benefited corporations. That's why in the tax bill, the tax cuts for corporations were permanent and the tax cuts for individuals expire. And the House has passed legislation to make them permanent for individuals, but that's not going anywhere in the Senate. And you know, the argument is if that was so important to them, why didn't they do that initially? There was that initial burst of sort of good publicity of companies saying that we're giving our employees bonuses or whatever because of the tax bill. But that has largely stopped. People have seen that their wages haven't really changed, and they're just not seeing much from this tax bill and all the benefits they're supposedly going to get. And we've seen already in special elections where Republicans tried to run on the tax bill. It just wasn't a message that people were buying. It was still seen as legislation that helped corporations. And so that's a real problem for Republicans. They don't really have a legislative achievement that's popular with the public.
We're talking to Amanda Turkel, Washington Bureau Chief for the Huffington Post, about this week's news in politics. You can join in. You can still let us know what you think about the role of the economy on the campaign trail in these politically polarized times. Do you think economic issues matter as much as they used to? If you're a Republican, do you think GOP candidates are talking enough about what looks like a strong economy, at least by many measures? Can the state of the economy swing your vote? Call in at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. We'll pick up the conversation coming up on Central Time. You're listening to Central Time on the Ideas Network. I'm Rob Ferret. We continue our conversation with Amanda Turkel, Washington Bureau Chief at the Huffington Post, looking at the week in national politics. We asked you what you thought about the economy as a political issue in the midterm elections. We heard from Dana in Green Bay, who said the economy should be a major factor in midterm voting. There's many positives in the economy people should pay attention to. Amanda, I want to follow up on a point you brought up earlier. The U.S. House, you mentioned, passed this extension, this making permanent of those individual tax cuts. As you said, the Senate doesn't look like they're going to pick that up at all. Is this an opportunity, though, for Republicans to run on, see, we passed your individual tax cuts, and to put Democrats on the spot voting for or against that?
I think that's what they're hoping. That's obviously why they passed it. But again, I think that Democrats have a pretty easy rebuttal of, well, why didn't you do that to begin with? This bill isn't going to go anywhere. You know, why were they looking out for corporations and they'd only worry about passing your tax cuts and making them permanent later in this individual bill, which is harder to pass? So, you know, again, from what I've seen, Republicans, there have been some Republicans talking about the tax legislation, but overall, it's just not something they're running on. They just know it's not popular. So when they do talk about taxes, it's much vaguer about Democrats not supporting tax cuts or wanting to raise your taxes. There are issues that the public feels very strongly about this election cycle. Healthcare is very, very high on the list. Republicans for years ran on repealing Obamacare. And this is the first cycle since Obamacare passed that Democrats are running more ads on it because Obamacare has gotten more popular and people don't want to see it repealed. But that's not what's driving people to the polls, just as people may like tax cuts, but it's not driving them to polls. It's this sort of a larger issue of the political atmosphere, sort of how they feel about their candidates and Trump and the general political the general political atmosphere, I would say, more than individual issues and the change they want to see in the country.
Want to take one more call on the politics of the economy. Dan is with us in Wautoma. Dan, hello.
Hey, how are you?
Good. What do you think?
Well, I think that while your caller or your guest does have some valid points, I think we're painting with a rather large brush. Saying that only corporations have to deal, the big corporations, many companies that are regulated at the 100 to 500 employee rate have got those tax breaks and are expanding and have reduced the unemployment rate by being not losing business, not losing customers, but by expanding their operations to the point where our unemployment rate is at the lowest level in 50 years. The other thing is to say that, you know, wages are stagnant. Well, that's also not really accurate because there are GAO and other numbers out there that say wages are rising. So rising at the rate everybody would like, probably not. But going backwards, stagflation, inflation, those are things that have been avoided by these tax plans.
Dan, thanks a lot for the call. Dan pointing to good news he sees, and Republicans, I mean, the unemployment number alone is something that Republicans could be trying to run on.
In a traditional election, they definitely would be, but it's still the fact that a lot of people aren't seeing their wages and their quality of life change as dramatically as Trump sort of trumpets when he is on the campaign trail. You know, Democrats also, when they talk about the tax bill, talk about the immense deficit created by it, and sort of warning that Republicans are going to target cuts in Social Security and Medicare to pay for it. You know, this is especially because Republicans for so long talked, sort of hit Democrats for not paying enough attention at reducing the deficit. It's just, you know, like I said, this election cycle, the economy and the state of the economy, and as much as Trump wants to take credit for it, it is just not the driving issue, and it's not enough to motivate people to get out to the polls necessarily.
Thanks for that call, Dan. We're talking to Amanda Turkel from the Huffington Post, looking at some of the big issues in national politics. I want to move on to a couple other stories now. It's got a national angle and relevant to our neighbors to the west in Minnesota. U.S. Representative Keith Ellison, a Democrat running for attorney general in Minnesota, has been under investigation by an attorney hired by the Democratic Party in that state for allegations of domestic abuse. Can you bring us up to date on that story?
Sure. Well, I mean, it's really hurting Ellison's reelection bid. I mean, Congressman Ellison, sort of a rising star in the Democratic Party, this progressive superstar, and he's running for attorney general. But he has this domestic abuse allegation hanging over him. And the party hired someone to independently look at it. And she found that the biggest allegation in there, that he sort of dragged her off their bed while shouting profanity at her in 2016, that just couldn't be substantiated. The woman, Karen Monahan, an ex-girlfriend of Keith Ellison's, has said that she has video, but she hasn't produced it, and she sort of keeps changing explanations for why. But there are still questions of whether, you know, in their relationship, there was maybe emotional abuse, verbal abuse, things like that. So, you know, the report sort of got him out of the worst allegation and said that there just wasn't enough evidence for it, but it's still hanging over him in this sort of Me Too movement, and it's still something that his Republican colleagues are using against him, and that makes many Democrats uneasy with his candidacy.
And former President Obama had released a bunch of new endorsements in races around the country. I think this is one he did not issue an endorsement in, noticeably.
Which is surprising, you know, people were very excited when Keith Ellison said that he was going to be running for attorney general. Right now, attorneys general around the country are sort of at the front edge of hitting back at President Trump. Keith Ellison was known as a congressman as being incredibly aggressive, outspoken, a progressive champion. And so this seemed like a good role for him, somewhere where he could maybe do a little bit more than being in Congress. But now it's just, you know, Democrats are not only worried about his candidacy and losing the attorney general seat to a Republican, but what effect he could have on other candidates.
And I want to turn to now a kind of a more abstract notion of the pace of national news lately, Amanda. Was it just 2 or 3 weeks ago we were all trying to figure out who wrote that anonymous op-ed, some Trump administration official? The Bob Woodward book was the game changer that we were all going to be talking about for weeks and months to come. Now... So many other things have happened since then. Of course, the Kavanaugh confirmation, President Trump's comments yesterday, this New York Times piece that we haven't even talked about on Donald Trump's financial history. One story crowds out another story really fast lately.
Yeah, I mean, honestly, I completely forgot about that anonymous New York Times.
Right, that was the huge thing.
And then how every reporter would supposedly be spending their time trying to unmask that person, and it's now been sort of forgotten. But, I mean, it's just crazy. In any other administration, I feel like one of these stories would just be a giant scandal, or what President Trump said about the deaths because of the hurricane in Puerto Rico. You know, any other... That would just be such a big scandal, and now, you know, we've all moved on from it. And so Trump, in many ways, is sort of benefiting from the chaos and the constant churning news cycle of the news about what's going on, that people can't keep their attention in one place and can't really dig in on one thing. But the Kavanaugh thing seems like it's going to be sticking around, although Republicans are trying to push it through as quickly as possible.
Does it feel like in reporting on Congress and national politics, do you get to sense the people you're reporting about are feeling this sense of chaos, of this fast-moving chain of events?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, you frequently ask lawmakers on Capitol Hill about something, and they're like, I haven't even seen it yet, or they sort of roll their eyes and they're like, I can't keep up with it. I mean, senators especially don't really like dealing with all the chaos coming out of the White House, because then they're asked by reporters to respond to it, and it's not necessarily what they want to be dealing with either. I'm sure they would much love to be talking about the tax bill and the economy and things like that and what they have going on in Congress, but instead they have to respond to the president's tweets or something he says at a rally. So it's completely, you know, Washington is just very different than it was during the Obama and Bush years.
Is there a sense that this is how it's going to be forever, or is this maybe how it's going to be during the Trump administration, however long that might last, another 2 or 6 years, whatever?
Definitely during the Trump years. Whether this continues, that is a big question that everyone wonders, and I don't know. It might depend on who the next president is.
All right, we'll leave it there for now. Amanda, thanks as always for joining us today.
Thank you.
We've been talking to Amanda Turkle. She's the Washington Bureau Chief at the Huffington Post. She was with us for a look at some of the week's top political news. Still time for you to weigh in on our question this week. How important is the economy for you as an issue in the November midterm elections? You can tweet us at Central Time WPR. You can always tweet us at Central Time WPR. You can also email ideas@WPR.org. Let us know what you think.